special. Before I get started, I want to say thank you to Pastor Aaron. After this, me and Sarah would have preached 4 times each. And coming into ministry as a youth pastor, I've heard different youth pastors I've talked to that only preach once a year, if that. So I want to thank you for this opportunity that we get to share the word, grow in this area, and I get to conquer my fear of talking in big people church. So, thank you for this opportunity. We really appreciate it, and we don't take it lightly. But good morning to all of you. I'm excited to share this morning. And as I was trying to think and write this sermon, I was kind of stuck. I was trying to figure out if I should focus on a specific story or a specific theme. I was trying to think of how to follow up Easter. How do you follow up Easter? And as I kept thinking and praying, what's next? What comes after Easter? Jesus is risen and living here for about 40 days on earth before he ascends to heaven. I already talked about the Holy Spirit last year, and Pentecost isn't for another 40-ish days. And then as I kept praying, walking kept coming to mind. And I was like, why walking? But it clicked. When often talking about our faith and life and faith with God, a theme of walking comes up. Walk with Jesus. Walk the narrow road. Walk away and flee from temptation. In Scripture, we see various people walk with God, from Adam and Eve walking in the garden, David, Abraham, Noah, Enoch, and so many more listed as walking with God. This theme of walking is very prevalent in Scripture. In Psalms, we see, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And in 2 Corinthians, we see that we should walk by faith and not by sight. In Scripture, a theme of walking comes up time and time again. Walking through our faith, walking down paths, etc. Hopefully, walking is a very familiar concept today. We walk every day. We walk from our bed to the bathroom, to the kitchen to prepare meals. We walk into work. We walk into stores and walk around grocery shops. We walk through the mountains. We take different trails on walks. Sarah and I walk our dog almost every day. And all of you walked into church this morning. Walking gets us places. Walking connects us. Walking relaxes us. Walking is important. God didn't create us just to sit down all day, every day. Walking is an essential part of life, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time we get to gather together and worship you together and look into your word together. Lord, I pray that you speak through me, that it's your words and not mine coming through, and that you open all of our hearts and all of our ears to listen to what you have for each and every one of us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, to prove that walking is an essential part of life, first we're going to look at some numbers on the benefits to walking physically and how that benefits us physically, mentally, and emotionally. So physically, I pulled this from an article that the Mayo Clinic released. They say a regular walk daily can help you lose body fat, improve cardiovascular fitness, strengthen your bones and muscles, increase energy levels, and strengthen your immune system. Mentally and emotionally, the statistics also from the Mayo Clinic and from the American Psychological Association, a daily walk improves mood, cognition, memory, and sleep, reduces stress and tension, walking increases creativity, and walking is a natural anti-anxiety treatment. Now, I bet some of you are thinking, Renee, I didn't come to church this morning to learn statistics and about walking. I don't need a TED Talk. And don't worry, I know. I didn't come here to give you a TED Talk on walking. Keep bearing with me. We're going through this today, and I highlight some statistics to show how good God is in creating walking. We weren't meant to stay still all the time. All these benefits and improvements walking gives us, it's God's goodness and creativity. Walking is essential to life in every aspect. That's why we see themes of walking in the Bible. It's important to walk spiritually, but also walking physically helps us a lot. I've seen this in my own life. Often when I'm having a rough day where it's busy or tiring or something bad happened throughout the day, and I get home, all I want to do is sit on my couch and rot away the rest of the evening without a thought of doing anything. Then Forrest, our dog, comes trotting by and sits right in front of me, headbutting me, and then looks to the door, looks to me, looks to the door, looks to me, and then he lets out a yawn with a little yowl as if to rush us. And we've come to learn that either means he needs to use the bathroom or he wants to go on a walk. So there go my plans of running away on the couch. I get up, get my shoes on, Forrest is running back and forth from the door to us, and we go on our walk. Now, I'm tired. I don't want to walk. I don't want to get sweaty. But as we're going along our walk, I can feel myself lighten up. I can feel the stress go down. My mind quiets down. I see Sarah enjoying the walk. I see Forrest wagging his tail and looking back at me with a smile. And I think, you know what? Despite the day, despite the tiredness, despite whatever happened throughout the day, whatever I'm going through, it lessens. I have seen firsthand how walking helps. The problems of the day didn't just vanish magically. My tiredness didn't go away, but physically, I felt good for getting out and not only taking care of my dog, but getting better physically. Mentally and emotionally, my thoughts slowed down. My problems didn't seem as big or overwhelming. And spiritually, when I began the walk complaining and thinking to myself and praying to God, why did this happen today? Why am I here? I don't want to do this specific thing. But by the end of the walk, I'm saying thank you to God for a beautiful sky, for a beautiful walk, for legs that work, and often apologizing to him for being so annoying with my complaining. God is so good that he provided a way through walking to allow us to settle down physically, emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually. So now that we covered some benefits to walking physically, why is walking with God important and beneficial to us spiritually? There's a lot that scripture highlights, but we're going to look at three important ones for our lives today. The first one, walking gives life. Deuteronomy 5:33 says this, "You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess." Walking gives life. You shall walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live. Walking in the way of the Lord gives us life. Following his commands, listening to his words, walking in them gives us life. The second is we have fellowship with each other and we are cleansed from sin. 1 John 1:7 says this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So walking gives us life, and we have fellowship with each other, and we are cleansed from sin. Walking with God and walking in the light gives us new life and connection. Because we walk with God and in the light with him, we get to have fellowship and a deeper connection with people. We get to have people in our corner that help us and encourage us and push us along, and in turn, we get to be there for others. And the third is we realize we have a purpose and work to do. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Walking with God, we realize we have purpose and work to do. Again, God didn't create us to walk around, to sit around and do nothing. He created us to walk in the good purposes he created for us. God created us for good things. We are God's workmanship, and other versions say masterpiece. He didn't create us as a trophy to sit on the shelf and collect dust. He created us to walk with a purpose. Now, we could spend weeks just listing verses and about walking with God and why it's important, but I hope this gives you a taste of it. I want to focus on one specific story this morning, and that's the story of Jesus walking on water with Peter. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33 says this, "Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, 'It's a ghost!' But Jesus spoke to them at once. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'Take courage, I am here.' Then Peter called to him, 'Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water.' 'Yes, come,' Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. 'You have so little faith,' he said. 'Why did you doubt me?' When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. 'You really are the Son of God,' they exclaimed." So before the story, Jesus feeds the 5,000. So immediately after feeding the 5,000, when everyone is satisfied and full, Jesus tells his disciples to get in a boat, cross the lake, and while he dismisses the people. After everyone leaves, Jesus goes away by himself, prays, and it becomes nighttime. The disciples are on the Sea of Galilee, struggling because the wind was very strong and they were fighting heavy waves. So right now it's 3 a.m. They're on a lake. It's pitch blackout. The only light is the moon and the stars lighting up the night sky. Waves are crashing against the boat, probably filling the boat with a little bit of water. And the wind is blowing and beating against the boat, beating against the waves, and blowing on them. So right now they're probably wet, cold, and struggling to get back to land. They're trying to stay focused because they're tired. They spent the day doing ministry, hearing Jesus preach and teach, and then they served over 5,000 people all day. They're exhausted. It's cold, dark, chaotic. They're scared. Some of the group used to be fishermen, so they might be a little used to it, but most of the group wasn't fishermen. And then, in the midst of all this, they see a figure walking towards them in the dark. They think it's a ghost, because who walks on water? It's impossible. They're terrified. And I know sometimes I can do this too. We read the story and say, come on, ghosts aren't real. It's Jesus, don't you know? We know the story. They didn't. They haven't seen Jesus walk on water. It's not possible. It's physically and humanly impossible. And remember the details. It's dark, loud, chaotic, cold. They're exhausted from a day full of ministry. And it's 3 a.m. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I wake up at 3 a.m., I'm a little dazed, and I'll see a jacket hanging in the corner, or I'll hear dogs or coyotes barking in the distance, and my first thought is, oh, it's a demon or a ghost. And I understand the disciples right now. 3 a.m. is a weird time, and when you're tired, your mind isn't in the right place. But Jesus speaks right away and calms them down. He says, take courage, I am here. They recognize his voice, but Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out on the water with you. Be careful what you ask for, because Jesus will answer. He has a funny sense of humor that way. Jesus says, yes, come. Peter walks out and begins to walk towards Jesus. He gets distracted by the heavy winds and the waves, and he begins to sink. He cries out, and Jesus saves him right away. Now, this could be a somewhat familiar story, and a lot happens in this small section. But let's break down what we can learn about walking through this story. The first point is Jesus already goes before you. Jesus was already walking on the water to meet them. When he calls out to Peter, Jesus is still in the water. God already goes before you wherever you walk. He's not going to call you somewhere and not be there before you, preparing the way. That's not God. We have a God that's an active and present God. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. He doesn't call us on the water without already being there to comfort us, encourage us, and to be ready to catch us. Which leads to my second point. When we walk, we sometimes get distracted and begin to sink. But God will always save us when we call on him. Peter already has enough faith to ask Jesus to call him out on the water. He goes out. Peter walks on the water towards Jesus. He doesn't sink right away. He has his eyes on Jesus and he begins to walk. But then he shifts his focus to the wind and to the waves. He begins to sink. He called out to Jesus right away, and God grabbed him. God will always save us when we call out to him. Romans 10:13 says this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. My third point is walking with God doesn't make the situation go away, but our focus gets centered. When Peter asks Jesus to call him out, and Jesus does call him, the wind and waves don't stop. The darkness doesn't go away. Peter is still probably wet and cold. The situation didn't go away. But when we're walking with God, our focus recenters, and the situation doesn't seem as bad when we're focusing on Jesus. Sometimes we think, and I do this a lot, that when we give our life to Jesus or we put a situation in his hands, that it'll magically go away and all the bad will never come back. Most of the time, it's not like that. The situation doesn't go away, but our perspective, our attitude, our focus, and our faith will change for the better. And bouncing off the first two points, when we call God, he comes to us, but he's also always there with us. He doesn't leave us out to dry. Jesus was right there next to Peter ready to help. He goes before us, but he's also with us. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." God goes before us, God saves us when we call him, and God is always with you. My last point is walking with God helps you point others to him. Now, it's all God doing the impossible here. It's Jesus walking on the water. It's Jesus allowing Peter to walk on the water. But I love Peter's faith here. Even though he begins to doubt and sink, he says, "Lord, if it's really you, call me out." Because he knows even though what is happening is humanly impossible, he knew only Jesus was the only one who could do it. Even though Peter loses focus and Jesus saves him, because of all this happening and Jesus walking on the water, the disciples begin praising Jesus, saying he truly is the Son of God. Sometimes we stress out because we think we need to do everything in our power to point people to God. That's all up to us, but it's not. Sometimes all you have to do is walk and be faithful. Jesus does the work. He just wants your obedience so he can use you. He created us for good works, and he will give you the strength to do them. But God's got it. We wish him to be faithful and begin walking. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 to 8 says this: "It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work." Walking with God helps you point others to him. God causes the seed to grow. God causes people to come to him. We just need to be faithful and walk. But Renee, how do we walk with God? I'm so glad you guys asked. We can know all these things, and we know we need to walk, but sometimes we don't know exactly how to do it. We don't know how to act it out. We may know that physically walking gives us benefits to our bodies and to our minds and to our emotions. But spiritually, what can I do to grow me and benefit me? I've come up with four things for us this morning. The first one is very revolutionary. You guys ready? Walk with God. Get up and physically walk. Steward your body and your mind. But also, not just walking, taking that time to pray and to listen to God while walking. In the morning, during a work break, in the evening with your spouse, with your family, or with friends, take time to get up and walk. Be intentional in prayer while walking, praying for yourself, your family, your coworkers, praising God and thanking him for the things he has done and provided. Withdraw from comfort, withdraw from the screens and the distractions, and physically walk with God. The second I have is focus on God. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." Just like we saw in Matthew, with Peter and Jesus walking on the water, Peter was able to stay up and stay afloat because his eyes were fixed on Jesus. Life is crazy. There are things battling for our attention and time. And if we want to stay walking with God and stay afloat in life, our eyes need to be fixed on Jesus. No matter what life throws at us, take that and put it in the focus with God. Have Bible verses around your house, on your phone screen, in the car, different things that will help you stay focused on God. And along with that, my next point is know God. If we want to walk with God and to focus on God, we need to know who we're walking towards. We're not going to grow or point others to God if we don't know him ourselves. How do we know God? I know these answers are going to be cliche and we hear them all the time in church, but it's by reading our Bibles. It's by prayer, by worshiping, by meeting together for service and for worship. God has made it really simple for us, and I don't think we need to go and make it complicated. There are so many tools at our disposal. Start a Bible plan. Get a devotional book that'll help you read through books of the Bible. Read a proverb a day throughout a month. When you wake up, before you grab your phone or get ready for the day, Set up and take a few minutes to pray. Take a day to fast. Take even a meal to fast. Start small and build it up. But we need to make time for God so we can know him. We cannot walk and focus on something we don't even know is there. There are so many ways to meet with God and get to know him. We just need to do it. Whatever you need to do, set a reminder on your phone, put a sticky note somewhere you'll see it. Schedule it in. Take time to know God. And the fourth, love and serve others. Again, it's one thing to know what to do, but it's another thing to do it. If we want to walk with God and also point others to him, we need to love and serve others like he did. Micah 6:8 says this, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Do justice. Do what is right in God's eyes. Love kindness and share kindness with others. That's what God wants from us. He doesn't want big shows and huge acts of service. He wants you to do what's right. He wants you to share kindness, and he wants you to walk with him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love others as you love yourself. Honor others before yourself. Serving and loving others is another physical way we get to walk with God. Get involved. I know we have that board in the back. If something piques your interest, scan that. Get involved. Give small gifts of appreciation, not only in this church building, but serving and loving your coworkers, your family, encouraging them, helping them out with work or schoolwork or chores, having a good attitude while working. There are so many people and so many different ways we can serve and love. It doesn't need to be a big spectacle. It can be as small as taking someone's trash, as listening to someone who's going through a rough time. Because the thing is, those actually aren't small things. That's what God wants from us. Walking with God means being ready to work. Because God is going to move, God is going to work. But will we be walking with him and ready to help? As we begin to close, I know life is tiring. There's a lot to do, a lot to say, a lot we hear. The world is a mess. There's a million things we need to get done, a million things we need to worry about. That maybe us going through a theme of walking sounds tiring, and I get it. But I want to look at a verse together. Isaiah 40:31 says this, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." When we trust God and walk with him, we won't grow weary, we won't grow faint. There are other things in life that we turn to that tire us out, that drain us, that make us weary and that make us faint. But that's not the case with our God. This is a promise. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. With God, we will work, we will walk, we will go through hard things, but with God, we won't get drained, we won't get weary, and we won't faint. He's got us. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. So, if you're tired this morning, walk with God. And I know that might sound counterintuitive. If I'm tired, why would I walk, even spiritually? But again, with God, it's the opposite. We aren't going to get more tired. We're going to find new, fresh strength. Trust in God that he will fill you up and give you new strength. Back to the story of walking forest when I'm tired. That's an often occurrence. Life is hard. Life is tiring. I myself, most of the time, don't want to go on the walk at first. There's not enough time in the day. There's things to do. There's people to care for. There's activities to go to. There are things to clean. I know. I go through the same thoughts. Half of those times that I don't want to walk, it's because I'm missing my Pennsylvania home. I find myself thinking back to home and to restaurants and to shops I miss and obviously the people. The family and friends I made there, the ministry I was a part of. And before I continue, me and Sarah love Colorado. We love all of you, and sometimes that's the problem. We can't turn and run because you guys are just too good. We love having a youth group. We love hanging out with them. We love taking them out. We love playing lock-ins with them and staying up late and waking up early. We love doing it, and it's so worth it. Serving this church family and meeting you guys, having game nights and dinner with you guys, that makes it worth it. And I love Colorado. I love where God has me. But I'll speak for myself. That doesn't make missing home go away. I'm missing my best friend's kids growing up. I'm missing both of my sisters and hanging out with them. My little sister is practicing driving and is going for her permit soon. So maybe it's good that I'm here and not over there. But I miss my parents. I even miss my in-laws. And usually I think that I have to suck it in and deal with it, that everyone deals with some sort of thing, so I should too. Sometimes I think I'm the only one who goes through it. But as I was preparing this, and even this week, God reminded me, I'm not the only one. There's a lot of us here this morning that come from different parts of the world. Maybe different parts of Colorado, different surrounding states, halfway across the country, or even halfway across the world. There are a lot of us who might miss home. Even if it's just one of you this morning, I think that's why God put it on my heart. He's telling us to walk with him, to keep being faithful in this season. I'm here for a reason. He has you guys here for a reason. Keep being faithful. Choose to walk with God this morning. He's asking you to walk alongside with him, to continue trusting in him. It's hard, but do it. Get up out of the boat and walk with him. Take time and be faithful. Make time to walk. And again, I'm not just talking about physically. We need to be walking spiritually. When you're tired, overwhelmed, anxious, busy, that's when we need to walk spiritually the most. When we want to rot on the couch and watch TV or scroll through social media, take time. Say, you know what? Let me pray for a little bit. Let me open my Bible and meditate on a verse or two. Take the step out of the boat because Jesus is calling. The winds will be blowing. The waves are going to be crashing. It might be dark, cold, scary, but Jesus is right there with you, ready to help you and to strengthen you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word and that we get to reflect on it and learn it together, Lord. Lord, I just pray for everyone here this morning that whatever life has thrown at us, whether it's work, finance, family issues, missing home, whatever we're going through, Lord, that we trust in you, that we get out of the boat, that we walk with you, that we take time to get to know you because you are faithful and good and you haven't proven otherwise. So Lord, this morning and this week, I pray that you open our hearts, that you soften our hearts, that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. So I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this opportunity to meet together, and thank you for how good and how faithful you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, buddy. Thank you, Lord. Great job. You know, on Monday, we were at the cemetery, National Cemetery, to celebrate the homecoming of Joy and Gordon's mom. And throughout that really short service that we had, they played a song. And I remember hearing the song as I was growing up. It was one of my grandparents' favorite songs. It was called In the Garden. And they played the song. And if you don't know the chorus, it's just beautiful. It says, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own." And as Pastor Renee was just sharing this word about walking with the Lord, and it was just that song just kept playing over and over and over and over and again in my mind. The fact that not only do we desire to walk with Jesus, but Jesus desires to walk with us, and that he talks with us and he shares these things with us. And it's such an unbelievably important message and reminder for all of us to know that sometimes we're the ones that are so busy. And Jesus is sitting there almost like Forrest the dog, you know, kind of looking at us, going, are you going to walk with me now? You know, are you going to spend some time with me now? And it's just such an important thing to help us remember that Jesus doesn't want to just walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to communicate so many things from his heart to our heart. And that's just such an important reminder that God desires that for all of us. So I want to encourage you, just like Pastor Renee, walk with him, experience life with him, and allow him and the words that he shares with us through his word or through those quiet times to transform our hearts and in our lives. Such an important message. Thank you, Pastor Renee. Great job. I want to remind you again, youth tonight, youth meeting on the 26th, and then also remember, if you're interested in baptismal or to be baptized, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, and we'll, if you have any questions, please come and talk to me about that. Let's close the service in prayer. Father, we do love you, and we do thank you. Thank you for this message as you laid on Pastor Renee's heart, and I pray that it would just penetrate our hearts and help us all to remember how important it is to maybe put some of the other things aside and walk with you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.